I did take into account that the game starts in 10:05 when I was preparing my homily, so I do promise to have you home for the start of the third quarter. So as we've heard, we are celebrating the feast of the baptism of our Lord. And we know from our religious education that at baptism, all sins are forgiven. And that person allows sanctifying grace to come into their soul. And they enter this new relationship with God. However, Jesus Christ is true God and true man. And we profess as such, he was sinless. So why would he present himself to John the Baptist to be baptized? In fact, John the Baptist recognizes this in the gospel. He says, "You're coming to me? I should be coming to you." But Jesus says this will happen to allow righteousness to occur. Righteousness is understood as right relationship, this right relationship that Christ is offering us. So let's unpack what that right relationship is and what Christ's baptism does to bring that about. So first of all, Christ's baptism starts the beginning of his public ministry. We know that Christ historically is said to have died at 33. If you read the Gospels, it's a 3-year period. 33 minus 3 gives us 30. So Christ was 30 when he started his public ministry. You might think, so what? But numerology is big in the scriptures. When we look at that age, we see three people start new careers, if you will, at the age of 30. First, we see Joseph, the one who had the technicolor dream coat. When he was 30, he became the de facto leader of Egypt. Although he himself was an Israelite, he was the most powerful man under Pharaoh in Egypt. Next, we know that Ezekiel started to prophesy at the age of 30, started to speak to the people of God, saying, "This is what God wants you to know." And finally, King David ascended to the throne in Jerusalem when he was 30. So this age of 30 is not insignificant. With it, Christ is saying, "I am that leader. I am that king. I am that voice that will lead you to righteousness, right relationship with God." Next, let's turn to our best friend, St. Thomas Aquinas, because he had a couple questions about why Christ was baptized and gives us some beautiful insights. He says that Christ was baptized so that the waters wouldn't cleanse him, but rather that he would sanctify the waters to cleanse us. He went on to say, look, if you go into John's gospel, you have Nicodemus asking Christ about what does it mean to be born again? And Christ says, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So we see Christ is giving us this wonderful example, saying, this is how you're going to enter into a relationship with God. This is how you'll be born again, through water and the Spirit. So in his baptism, Christ is giving us this vehicle, this way for us. Doesn't matter who our parents are, doesn't matter who our bloodline are, it matters that we accept that blessing at baptism. Going a little deeper into our theology, at Christ's baptism, something is revealed to us that we could never know through our own use of the intellect. There are certain attributes we can know about a generic God through philosophy and sciences, but there are certain things that we would never know unless God revealed it to us. And one is his nature, this triune God, one God in three persons. And we see that given to us at Christ's baptism. We're told the heavens open up and the Holy Spirit comes down upon Christ. We hear God the Father speaking, "Behold, this is my beloved Son." And Christ's divinity has started to be revealed to us. Obviously, through his teaching and through his miracles, he will continue to show us the true nature of himself, being true God and true man. So understanding this revelation, this intimate encounter with God, we are know now something about God that we could never know through our own accord. So this right relationship, this righteousness, takes another step in the right direction. So let's explore a little bit more about what Christ's baptism does to help us in that relationship with God. In his baptism, Christ takes the position of sinners, right? So he goes into the waters. That's a symbolic death. We stay in the water for too long, we die. But then Christ rises again. Well, think of Jonah. When the waves were crashing upon the ship he was on, finally he confesses and say, it's me. God has a problem with me. So throw me overboard. Throw me into the water and you will be saved. Well, then the whale comes, swallows him up. 3 days later, spits him out. Then he goes and starts to prophesy, to tell people to get back in right relationship, righteousness with God. Well, Christ, the same thing with the tomb. He died for our sins. And for 3 days, he was in the belly of the whale. And then he came out. Well, there's an intimate link between baptism and resurrection. And Christ gives that to us in the scriptures. So, for instance, in Mark 10, when Jesus is talking about his crucifixion, he says, can you be baptized with the baptism which wished I am to be baptized? So he refers to his crucifixion as a baptism. Similarly, in Luke 12, he says, there is a baptism with which I must be baptized. This is after his baptism we celebrate today. And how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. St. Paul gets this, and when he's writing to the Romans, he says very clearly, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And it's through that baptism that we will rise with him as well. So at our baptism, we acknowledge that we need Christ in our life. We acknowledge that we need the cross in our life. And we acknowledge that if we follow Christ, we too will rise with him. One last piece of the puzzle here, we have to jump over to St. Luke's account of the baptism. St. Luke tells us, after all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying. So we see the importance of prayer. Prayer is that communication with God. St. Thérèse of Lisieux says, for me, prayer is a surge of the heart and a simple look toward heaven and a cry of recognition and of love embracing both trial and joy. So Christ is modeling for us that baptism is just the beginning. We need that prayerful exchange with God every day, every week, every year of our lives. Because that baptism is just the beginning. We need to nurture it. We need to grow and understand that righteousness is two ways. God offers it to us, but we have to bring it back to God and want that in our lives. So the baptism of the Lord reminds us today of this righteousness, this right relationship that God wants to offer all of us. It begins at our baptism, but we nourish it through prayer, particularly contemplating Christ's death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. So when we say yes to God, when we say yes to this gifts we offer, we have that righteous relationship with him. We can be one with our God. This is the beautiful gift that we reflect upon today as we celebrate the baptism of our Lord.